A main lesson page is the culmination of everything that's being studied. It includes art, form drawing, writing composition, and handwriting, in addition to whatever the block is studying. Talking about main lesson pages or notebooking. So maybe we need to start at the beginning of what a main lesson page is. So when I talk about main lesson pages, this is usually terminology for Waldorf pedagogy, but Waldorf is not the only one that uses main lesson pages. Charlotte Mason essentially does a similar thing with their illustrations and narrations, and loads of people use notebooking as part of their learning structure, which is all similar in nature to what we are doing with the main lesson page. So a main lesson page is the culmination of everything that you're learning, from art, form drawing, writing composition, handwriting, in addition to anything in particular that you are studying. In its most basic form, it has some sort of narration about the topic of study and an illustration paired with that. In a more elaborate main lesson page, you will see borders, possibly form drawing along the edge of the border, accompanied by some sort of illustration that might use some of the art techniques that you have been learning, in addition to some narration about the topic of study that you're studying. So handwriting is included in that because our main lesson pages are the finished product that goes into our notebook. And having said that, I feel like there needs to be a little bit of a caveat here because it doesn't mean every main lesson page has to be perfect. It doesn't mean every main lesson page is completely edited or that all the art techniques that we're learning have to be included on that main lesson page. It's just the culmination of everything that we're learning. Like all of teaching, it's important to pick and choose what your goals are for that particular lesson in adjusting your expectations for that main lesson page. I'm going to go over the basic steps of how we do a main lesson page and then give you the variations, because like all things, when I give you the steps that we do, I include all of the steps, but it's not like we do all the steps every single time we do a main lesson page. So the first step that we start out with is memory recall. It's review and discussion of the material that we've learned so far. Sometimes we have jotted notes down and we are using those notes or the books that we're reading to help us to remember the material. And we're usually jotting down notes of what we want to include in our narration for this main lesson page. Then we're going to talk about the main lesson page's layout. Where do we want the picture? Where do we want the words? What do we want to look like? What colors are we going to choose? I usually bring in some color theory here with the color wheel to talk about the palettes. Are we going to use complementary colors? Are we going to use adjacent colors? Warm, cool, what kind of contrast do we want? We're talking about those kind of things before we start putting things on the page. We're also going through and looking through our books for inspiration. What pictures might we want to copy? What illustrations inspire us? And we're choosing something, some idea of what we want to have. And oftentimes we are looking at a particular picture in a book, or sometimes we look up a particular picture or item so that we have some kind of reference for our drawings. And sometimes there's no reference, but a lot of times we are using something to copy. Once we have that particular thing picked out that we're going to use as a reference and copy, then we do a bit of a picture study on that particular item. So we're looking at things like, where are the highlights? Where's the light coming from? Where are the shadows in that picture? What are the various shapes, looking at foreshortening and sometimes perspective, depending on the age of the child, but just doing a short picture study about what we're viewing, noticing and wondering, having that discussion out loud, so that when we go to replicate it, it's a little easier for us. So we're also looking at proportions, those kind of things. Are they using complementary colors for the shadows? Are they using grayscale for the shadows? Are they using adjacent colors for the shadows, which happens a lot in watercolors and is my favorite way to do shadows and highlight. At this point, when we have a plan, we have our narration either written or getting ready to compose that if we're not doing the editing process. We have some kind of picture reference. We have some kind of idea of layout and color scheme. Then we're going to start our main lesson page. And I usually start with the border. So I'm taking, we use our block crowns, one of our block crowns, and make a border along the edge. And then often I include form drawing along that edge. When they were younger, I would instruct them on what form we were using when we were in the middle of learning form drawing. In the later years, I let them decide which form they want to put in their drawing. I mean, we have discussed over the years different form drawings, how we can enhance them, make them look better. So I am pretty hands-off all about the border. And sometimes we don't do a border at all. One of my reasons for beginning with the border, especially for math, is that the construction of the border is meditative. It takes concentration to do form drawing, and it takes focus to do form drawing. The spacing of the form, getting everything uniform, that takes hand-eye coordination, focus, and it's meditative in nature. So in starting with the border, it clears the mind and prepares us for what's going on the page. Especially in math, when we're doing a main lesson page highlight or process or a particular concept that we've been working on, this really helps to set the mood. And often, particularly in math, if we're doing a main lesson page for our math journals, I am using that border and that form drawing to bring us to center, to settle our minds, to get ready to pay attention to what's coming on the page. And because of that, I really am getting a sense of the energy as to how much of a border we're doing for that particular page. If I feel like that the border and the form drawing isn't necessary to get us centered, then we sometimes skip it. But if I feel like we're a little chaotic and not quite ready to pay attention, then I spend a little more time on the form drawing. And in my leading in this way by doing my own border and her following, it does calm the mind, clear the mind, and get us ready for what's going on the page. The order of what comes next really depends on what we're studying and what my goals of teaching are. Many times, particularly when I'm teaching science, I have a particular illustration that I either want her to copy or that I want her to illustrate that has something to do with a scientific concept. And I use that illustration as scaffolding for our narration. And so that would come first before the narration, and we wouldn't even do those things on the same day. They would be on different days. Opposingly, sometimes for history, we do it in the opposite direction. First, we're working on the narration, and we have that into our notebooks, and then we're working on the illustration to go with that narration. In previous posts, I've gone over how we use narration and how we use illustration in our homeschooling, and I go over more details of how I use them and what order we do them in. There, of course, is going to be variation on how those steps are done. Let's talk about those variations. The biggest variation that I can think of is the time that it takes to do a main lesson page. Sometimes they are done all in one day, and other times it is a multi-day process. Sometimes for history or for math, we are doing all the main lesson page in a single day. Other times, if I'm using narration to support the illustration or vice versa, this is a multi-day process. First, we're reviewing the material about whatever it is that we're studying. And then if I'm planning the illustration as an art lesson, then we are doing that illustration together. If I am planning that illustration as a concept for science and using that illustration to support the narration, then she's going to be working on that illustration on the first day, and then we're going on the third day to review that information again, use the illustration that she has made to support her narration. So we're looking at a main lesson page that is at least taking 2 to 3 days. The second variation is going to be the order, and that again is dependent upon what we are studying and what my teaching goals are for that lesson or that main lesson page. If I'm using the illustration to support narration, then of course the illustration is going to come first, and if it's the other way around, then the narration is going to come first. And depending on the energy for the class and what the goal is in math, I'm often using the border to set the mood. But if we aren't doing that, then we may want to do the border at the end of our project. One of the big factors in determining the variation for the main lesson page is going to be on what my goals are for that particular lesson. Is the illustration an art lesson? Is the illustration just free art with hopes of her using particular techniques that we've learned? Is the narration a free write, or is the narration something that we are going through the entire writing process with, where we're sitting down, taking notes on the material, looking at those notes and determining what is the most important and what is going to be included in that narration. And this, of course, influences the other variation of these steps, which is whether the narration is going straight into the notebook or whether the narration is going to take some time. We're going to do some drafts before we get to a final. And that depends on whether or not I want to go through the editing process, because you definitely do not need to be going through the editing process for every piece of work that your child composes. That would be exhausting. It's exhausting for us. So you want to pick and choose which pieces of work are going through the full editing, and also pick and choose like pieces that are going through partial editing. So depending on what my teaching goal is for that and what that piece is going through the full editing process decides whether or not we are placing that narration directly into the notebook as is, or if we are writing it on lined paper first, Or if your child is younger, if it's being transcribed from an oral narration and being typed up and placed in the notebook. Before we close out today, I want to spend a few minutes talking about the quality of main lesson pages, because you're going to see a wide variety as far as quality with main lesson pages or notebooking. Even within the same child, you're going to see different levels of quality. And some things to think about. Sometimes it's important that a child put forth their full effort in the entire process, right? You want a beautiful, spectacular, fully finished product in a main lesson page. Sometimes it's going to be less than that. Again, this is partly going to depend on your teaching goals at the time for that lesson. If it is an art lesson, maybe you want to spend a little bit more time on this. Maybe you want to talk about the layout and you want full effort in their illustration work. If it's more of a science lesson and you're not really doing art instruction for the science lesson, maybe it's only as important as the diagram is clear, well-labeled, and easy to understand. In this particular circumstance, maybe the narration takes precedent over the illustration. It really depends on what your goals are and what you are needing from this output, meaning what is it that you want your child to come away with here? What is the learning that you want to be happening? What is the best way to facilitate that? Another influence to the quality of a main lesson page is going to be the personality of the child. I have seen some amazing, amazing main lesson pages that are gorgeous and beautiful with wonderful narrations. Some children really thrive in this area and spend a lot of effort with elaborate main lesson pages. And then other children have different personalities and they don't spend as much time or effort or care. They're not as invested in the main lesson page. Just to make us all feel a little bit better, I think it's important to remember that learning happens even if it's not particularly beautiful. Also, you're going to see a huge difference in some days or seasons than others. Your child will have the energy, the excitement, the enthusiasm on one day and will not on another day. So you have to consider that. Here are two questions that I ask myself, not just with main lesson pages, but almost with anything that we are doing when I'm feeling the energy and I am teaching or facilitating learning. The two questions are, will I have the opportunity to facilitate my goal at this time, at another time, in another lesson? Almost always, that is yes. And the reason for that is because we need to be repeating and spacing material on a regular basis. So most of the time, we will have the opportunity to facilitate that goal at another time. Basically, if it's not that important to you at that time, you can teach it in another way at another time. But sometimes we want the effort. Sometimes we do, and we know that they're capable, and so we ask them to do it again or spend more time, really put forth the effort. And the other question that I ask myself is, how important is this to me today? When I'm looking at it and I'm weighing all things involved, her energy, our connection, what she's taking away, even if she has the clarity of mind and focus to take in what I'm talking about that particular time, all of these things weigh in. How important is it to me today? And that also determines the amount of effort that I ask from her on the main lesson page. Sometimes it's important to me. Sometimes we're going over a particular concept that I really want her to understand, And spending that time on the narration and illustration is important to me. And then other times, I know I can teach it another time, or I know I'm not going to get very far because she's not really opening to learning at that particular moment. And if that's the case, then I let it go, or I try to end on a upswing and we move on to something else. I'm talking specifically about main lesson pages here, but I want you to know that this kind of thing, those are questions that you can ask in all of your lessons and all of your teaching. Okay, that's all from me today on main lesson pages. That's the steps that we use for constructing our main lesson pages and my thoughts in regards to main lesson pages. I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you so much for listening. If you have any questions, as always, leave them at the bottom of the post. Reply to any email. Use the contact form in your membership area, and you can always just email me at della@thebeautyofplay.com. Until next time, happy homeschooling.